Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Amen. Simple Christmas. I'm looking for one of those. And I haven't got all of my shopping done. Anybody got all of your shopping done? You're the kind of people that I don't know. Can't figure that out. Amen. Simple Christmas. I want you to take your Bibles to two places, Luke chapter 2, and also I want you to go to John chapter 14. Luke chapter 2 and John chapter 14. If you're a first-time guest here, I just want to remind you there's a place that you can take a little portion of our church with you, but leave us something to know that you were here worshiping with us, and we can say thank you. There's a connection card in the seat in front of you. Take that, fill it out, drop it in the box back at the table, or just leave it in your seat. As you leave, we'll find it, and we want to just let you know that it was great for you to be a part of our church today. Amen. Did you know that Mary and Joseph and all of the shepherds have one thing that's in common? Actually, there's several things that they have in common, but one particular thing that took place in the Christmas story that they all have in common was what? They all experienced fear. All of them, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, all required an angel to speak to them and say these three words: do not be afraid. That's four words, isn't it? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. There you go. Okay, so if you're counting. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. They all had this fear that was in common. Because life, and you know this as well as I do, life can be filled with a lot of fear. There are people who are afraid of spiders. Can I say, hear an amen? People who are afraid of snakes. Any snake haters in the room? People who are afraid of heights. You do not climb ladders. Anybody in the room? People who are afraid of public speaking. Should we have a testimony service and have everybody participate? Should we try and just see who that is? Yes? This past week we had just a couple days ago, we had a staff Christmas party in our board, and there was a flashlight that was given. Now, most people aren't afraid of flashlights. You know, I mean, why would you be afraid of that, right? Why would you be afraid of that? But this is a special flashlight, and this is a fun flashlight because this thing is not just a flashlight. It's one of these. See, exactly. That's exactly what I was waiting for. I need a volunteer. Anybody. Charles was standing up. How many of you would be a little bit afraid to touch that on your arm? Anybody? Me too. I told everybody at the party after one of these was given, I really wanted it, but then I started thinking about it. Yeah, but if I got it, then Shannon would know where it was. I'd have to keep it hidden because, you know, if things ever kind of went sideways, I'm in trouble. And so I said, well, I need to just test this thing. I said, let me see that. Let me test it out. I wonder if it's really as bad as it's more noise than anything. And I just couldn't bring myself to touch myself with that thing. I just couldn't do it. So Shannon walks up. She says, here, let me have it. I'll try it. And I was like, you won't try it on yourself, but you'll try it on me. She said, yeah, that's right. I'll try it on you. No, I just passed. We're afraid. Life is filled with all types of things that can make us afraid. Life is filled with things that bring a tremendous amount of uncertainty in our life, and that's really what causes fear, because there's all of this uncertainty about relationships that we have or our family, and people are fearful about their kids. People are fearful about their future. People are fearful about finances all the time. And so you have a lot of people, maybe even yourself, like a low-grade fever. You just walk around with a low-grade fear. It's just this low-grade fear. It's like walking pneumonia. You're functioning okay, but deep down, underneath the surface, there is this low-grade fear, this anxiety that's just eating at you. And in the Christmas story that we're going to read in just a second, it's no different. The characters in the story, Mary, Joseph, these shepherds, there was that low grade. Once the news started getting to them, once they started realizing what was going on, there was this low grade fear. And Mary is asking questions, how is this going to affect my life? Joseph is like, this is going to make some things crazy. Will this affect my job? Is this going to affect how people look at me? The shepherds are like, wow, this is fixing to really get big. What is it about simple peace that we're going to talk about this morning? Look in Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, the scripture says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, filled with fear. But the angel said to them," what? "Do not be afraid." Those four words. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now skip over to verse 13. "And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying," look at this, "glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace to all men on whom His favor rests." Glory to God, and peace be upon all men and women. Peace upon mankind on whom His favor rests. God, in the very first Christmas, brings simple peace to a very simple Christmas. And you see, Jesus speaks to all of these fears. Because when Jesus arrives on the scene, He's not just a baby, but He's coming to address the fears, this low-grade anxiety that many people live with in their life. So flip over in John 14. I want to show you something. In John 14, the context is this. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He doesn't want His disciples to live in the dark. He doesn't want them to have this life where they're surprised by everything that's around the corner. He wants them to be fully aware of what is about to take place. And he reiterates the point. Look, you guys are a part of this kingdom that has been established. It's just in the beginning. But things are about to turn differently. Things are about to go not the way that you think that they should go. Things are about to go not like you planned. You see, what's going to happen is I'm going to be accused. I will be accused and I will be tried and convicted, even though I will be completely innocent. Fellas, I want you to understand that not just will there be some kangaroo trial, but I will be put to tremendous torture. I will suffer and I will die. And at that, it was amazing because it would be hard for them to even comprehend this. But in the end, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to come back from the dead, and I am going to change everything from that point on. Now, let me tell you something. For that and for those guys to hear this would scare them to death. Their life was about to be upset. It was about to be changed. It was going to scare them. Fear would come upon them like never before. And He even says, "Peter, I want you to know this. You're going to get so scared that you're going to deny me." But even though you know all of this, look at verse 1 of chapter 14. "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Even though you know the facts, even though you know what's going on, don't let your hearts be troubled. What's He say? "Trust in God. Trust also in me." Trust in God. "Because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Life is overwhelming. Life may get heavy. Life may feel like that you're the only one in this insignificant number in this colossally huge world with millions and billions of people. Trust in God. Trust in God because He's thinking of you. He's preparing a place for you. He's thinking, some of you have already prepared and gotten ready for family or friends or parties that you're going to have. You get ready because you're thinking of the individuals that are coming to see you. And God is doing the same thing. He's preparing a place. He's thinking of you. Trust in God. He goes on. Flip over to John chapter 16, verse 20. John 16, 20, he says this. Jesus goes on, he says, "And I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve." Not really the highlighted scripture probably in your Bible. But he says, your grief will turn to joy. He says this, things are going to get ugly. In your life, trouble is going to come. In your life, it's going to be difficult at times. But that's not how it's always going to, that's not how it's going to end. Things are going to turn out if you will trust God. Skip down to verse 33. He says this. He says, "I have told you. I've warned you. I've made you aware of these things." Jesus is laying it all out in front of these disciples who are wide-eyed. "I've said these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." I've told you some things, guys, that don't make sense. I've told you some things that aren't pleasurable. I have made you aware of some things that aren't fun. But here's what I'm offering you. I'm offering you peace. I'm offering you peace. In the midst of all of life's overwhelming heaviness, in the midst of all of these challenges that you're going to face, I'm going to give you peace. He's saying, look, life is not it's not about a trouble-free life, but it is about a peace-filled life. You won't live life trouble-free, but you can live life filled with the peace of God. Go back to chapter 14 in John. Verse 25 says this. He goes on, he says, "All this that I have spoken while still with you." I'm here, I'm standing in front of you. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." And I want you to make this connection in the Scripture. It's important. "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you and he will remind you of everything." The Holy Spirit doesn't just come for us to remain in ignorance. What does he do? He teaches us. He exposes those things that we are not aware of. He gives us truth when we cannot see the truth. He helps us to recognize what's happening in our life when we fail to recognize what's happening in our life. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit teaches us, but he also reminds us. What had Jesus been telling these guys? Look, it's going to get tough. It's going to be challenges. I want you to be aware. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die, but I will rise again. I have overcome the world. There will be trouble. I'm offering you peace. The Holy Spirit reminds us of all these things. Jesus is not standing here today, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this room today, using me, hopefully, to speak to you, to remind you of all that Jesus has already said. He says, "Reminding you of everything that I have said to you." And look at verse 27. "So peace," everybody say that word with me, "peace. So peace I leave with you." Now make this connection. It's important. What did Jesus say in verse 26? "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," he's coming. I'm leaving, but he's coming. "Peace I leave with you." Do you know what the Holy Spirit does when he comes into your life? When he takes up residence in your life? He establishes a new kingdom of peace in your life. There is something different that changes about you. There is something totally, totally made over. He says, peace, I leave with you. I'm going to be gone, but I'm leaving the Holy Spirit. Peace in your life. I'm leaving peace with you. And my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world does. I don't say I'm going to give something and then take it away. I'm not making something up. I'm not producing something that's faux or fake. I'm giving you something. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Life is filled with all types of uncertainty. Filled with anxiety. Filled with moments when you're completely afraid. But here's what Jesus is saying. You don't have to live there. You don't have to live in it. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my financial condition. You don't know the problems I've had in my family. No, I don't. But you don't have to live in that. You don't have to live under the cover of fear and anxiety and worry and stress and uncertainty. There is another way to live, and that is the life of simple peace. What is simple peace and how do you live in it? Let me give you just a real quick definition. I've worked through this the last few weeks, just a simple Christmas. We've talked about simple love. We talked about simple joy. We've discovered that God's version of simple is very significant, but it's kind of hard to do sometimes. And it's really radical because you're not going to live the way everybody else lives if you live according to God's simplicity of just faith and joy and love. And peace. Simple peace is this. Now I've got the definition. I want this on the screen. I want you to see this. Simple peace is this. Simple peace is being fully aware and fearless. Simple peace. Fully aware. I want you to think about what we just read in John 14. Fully aware of what's going on, but fearless. When you're fully aware, you know the facts. You don't deny the facts. I want you to look at the Christmas story. Mary was told the facts. You are a virgin, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Now, here's the facts. People are going to look at you sideways. They're going to give you the stink eye. Some may even call you a slut. That's the facts. It's going to be challenging. It may be a little bit tough. Mary, I want you to be aware of this because when Mary received this news, she didn't know how it was going to affect her, but she asked the question, I know, because she's human. She says, how is this going to change and affect my life? What are people going to think? How am I going to live through this? It might get a little bit nasty for you, Mary. That's the truth. Joseph? People are going to look at you really sideways. They're going to think you're crazy. When you try to convince other people that your bride-to-be, who is pregnant, has a child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit, are you crazy, Joseph? You must be crazy. Joseph, it's going to affect you. You have to know the facts. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. My friends, I just want you to understand that God doesn't want you to stick your head in the sand. You come to church and you read the scripture. It's not like that life switches the switch off and all of a sudden you live in this ignorance is bliss world where the less I know about the issues and the problems that's going on around me, then I'm just better off. You should be aware of what's going on in the world. You should be made aware. You should listen to the facts, not the fake news, but you could listen to the facts and find out what the facts are. Why? Because most people don't want to know and be aware of really what God is doing, what they could see in their life, because the more we understand the facts, it usually produces the more uncertainty that we feel in our life, because if we know what's going to happen, we're uncertain about how it's going to happen. We are fully aware, simple peace, fully aware of what's going on in our life. Jesus, he wants us to be fully aware that when you sign up to follow Him, that there is a burden of the cross-bearing that you wear every day. That when you stand up for Jesus in your workplace, there may be people who might look at you and say, what do you think that you're doing? In the climate that we have now, you have to be aware of what it's going to look like when you do stand for Christ. Jesus wanted these disciples to be aware, and at the same time, he wanted them to live fearless, which means that they would not just be aware of what was going on, but they would be fearless. Look at John 14. Jesus gives them all the facts. But here's what makes us different than everybody else. We know all the facts. We know what's coming. Other people may know what's coming. But here's what makes us different. We also know the Father. We know the Father. And because we know the Father, we are certain that the Father is never going to be uncertain. And we know that we can live through the facts that may be presented to us. We can be aware of everything around us and still live fearless and in faith and trust God through all of it. It's just so simple. It may be hard. It's a little bit radical. My question to you this morning is are you living in that simple peace, that simple place of being fully aware of your circumstances, but yet you're fearless? Fully aware of what's going on in your finances, but you're fully aware of your relationships, but you're fearless. You see, when you live in that simple peace, you receive the gift that covers every level of your life. First of all, that peace covers the peace with your past. You have peace with your past. Peter was committed to Jesus when Jesus is standing before him, but what happened? Peter blew it. He messed up. He made a complete fool of himself. Jesus is taken. Things go sideways. What does Peter do? He finds himself surrounded by people who are pointing at him and saying, you were with that Galilean. You've got to be one of those. And Peter didn't picture it this way. And what does Peter do? He denies the Lord three times. He blows it big time. He messes up huge. Anybody ever been there? When you say to yourself, maybe under your breath, man, why did I do that? What caused that? What's wrong with me? And Jesus ends up rising from the dead, and he comes to Peter, and instead of scolding, he wants to restore him. He says, Peter, let me have a conversation with you because you've lost something that's so important in your life. You've lost the peace that used to be there. Now you're so upset. You went back to the boat. You went back to fishing. I want to restore you. And he calls Peter to do something. And this is what happens if you've dealt with your past and you've just that past just seems to resurge in your life. God wants to speak peace. And here's what he's calling you to do. You have to rise up and risk again. You have to rise back up. What does that mean? It means that we tend to give up whenever we make mistakes. We just say, I'm going back to the boat. I'm going to go back and throw nets in the water. Nothing can, you know, God can't overcome this. God can never use me again. And Peter does that. He goes back to fishing. But Jesus says, Peter, I don't want you to go back to the boat and fish for fish. I want you to keep fishing for men. I don't want you to live like the rest of the guys. I want you to make an impact. I want your peace to be restored into your life. Jesus is really wanting Peter to see this. He says, I want the world to see that when you mess up, you can still rise up and make a difference in the world around you. Mark Twain said this. He said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he won't sit on a hot stove again. But he won't sit on a cold stove either. That means that a lot of times when we make those mistakes, we just bury ourselves away. We mess up, we shrink up, we're done, we're hopeless. And what the Lord is really telling us today with that peace of God that comes is you need to just rise up. Rise up again. Those failures, let them be in the past. Let the peace of God cover that. In April 1st, 1976, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and another guy named Ronald Waynes. They all met in Santa Monica to sign a contract for a new company that they were putting together, a little dinky company at those days. It was called what? Apple. close enough. So they get together and they decide on a simple partnership. Not a corporation. They were just going to make a simple partnership where each party was liable for some of the expenses that the company's going to incur. So 45% was going to go to Steve Jobs, 45% to Steve Wozniak, 10% because of Mr. Wayne's involvement, they were going to give him 10% of the entire company. But as Ronald Wayne began to think about the failures that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak had in the past, he began to get a little bit concerned, because the only thing that he could think of was the failures that they had endeavored in before. So 11 days after they signed this contract, this agreement of profit sharing, he goes down to Santa Monica clerk's office and he changes and writes up another document, and he gets rid of his 10% shares in this new company, and he cashes them in for $800. Whew. Wow. Oh, wait, it doesn't stop there. Because there was an agreement that the following month he would also get paid $1,500. Woo. $1,500. Yeah. If he had kept those 10% shares in Apple, he would be worth over $3 billion today. But you know what stopped him? He thought about the failures, and fear kept him from risking and rising up to go at it again. Let me tell you something. Jesus is saying, if you're willing to just rise up above that fear, if you will let peace come into your life, he'll do something beyond your wildest dreams. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me a word for, I don't know who it's for, but I'll just say this. If God has laid upon your heart in the past where you have failed to be the spiritual leader in your home, and the reason why that you feel that you have failed to be that spiritual leader is because the people that know you the best know your failures, it's time for you to rise up and lead your home again. I don't know who that's for, but I want you to understand that there is a peace that can cover your past. Your past does not disqualify you from the race that is in front of you. There is a peace for your future. I love football. I love watching Oklahoma play football. This year, as I was watching one of the games, I was sitting there. Shannon was in the kitchen watching the game, and I'm nervous. I've got anxiety going on, you know, because it's a long distance down, and I'm yelling and screaming, and Shannon's in the kitchen. She's just like doing stuff. She's making comments. Oh, that was a pretty good play. Well, really, it wasn't, but, you know, and she just keeps on doing her own thing. Shannon had no problem, and she really likes to watch football too, and she enjoys watching the Sooners win. But I was completely nervous. She was not nervous at all. And the reason why is because she had already seen the end of the game. I was watching it on DVR. Newsflash. You want to understand simple peace in your life? Some of you are so concerned about your future. God has already seen your life on DVR. He's already seen it. We're scrambling around, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. What's the next play going to be? Are we going to make this? Are we not going to survive? Are we going to have to punt? Is it all over? Are we going to lose? And God's in the kitchen, laughing, making comments, looking at us thinking, how silly are you? Why? Because he's seen the game and it's already been played. He sees it. He's ahead of us. John 14, God sees how it all works. There may be a little bit of mourning, but thank God the Bible says that your mourning is going to turn into joy. There is joy that comes after a few days of grief and mourning. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. There is joy that will come to those who will hang on and hold on. God has seen the final work of this world. He has seen it And he has determined in his infinite wisdom that all things, thank God, all things are going to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. So what do? Here's what we do. We rise up and we relax. Look at your neighbor right now and just say, just relax. If there is any group in the world that should be able to relax, it is us. Are you hearing me this morning? If there is any group that walks the face of this planet, it is us, the people who follow Jesus. Why? Because the end has already been seen. Now here's a question for you. Do you live like you're going to die and someday live for eternity with God? Are you living that way? Because the end has already been seen. I went to college with a guy named John. We both were going into the ministry. He ended up going up to Kansas, and he was a youth pastor for several years, and then the Lord just laid upon his heart to start a church. He came and he planted a church not too many years after Shannon and I came to Denton. As he was working and trying to get this church going and things, I got a phone call about 7 years ago. And he said, "Bro, it's bad. I need your prayers." I was like, "What's going on?" He said, "It's Laura." John and Laura had been married for, I'm not sure, 10, 15 years at this point, maybe a little longer. They had two boys. Their ages were around 12 and 8, 12 and 9. And he calls me and he says, "Man, I need you to pray for Laura. She's in bad shape." She was completely healthy. Nothing was wrong with her. And then one afternoon, John comes home and they're just having an evening together, and all of a sudden she just passes out, faints. In the process of all this taking place, she goes into like organ failure. And so John is trying to do CPR on his wife there in his house. The EMTs, they show up. I mean, it's just a chaotic scene. They actually fly. They were living over here in North Dallas area. They get a helicopter. They bring a helicopter, like, and it lands in their street. And they fly her to some Dallas hospital downtown. Big Baylor, I think it was downtown. They take her there immediately. I mean, like, she's 30-something years old, and all of a sudden everything is just... And John's life is just upside down. I go down to the hospital and I walk into those rooms, and man, I just grab him and I mean, what do you say in those moments? He's not much older than me. He's a couple years older, so he's in his mid-30s, and here he is looking at his 30-something year old wife Laura as she lays in this hospital bed. For 3 weeks, she laid there in that bed. Slowly but steadily, the doctors couldn't figure out exactly what was going on. But in the end, she succumbed to her sickness and she died. Now, what do you tell a good friend who is 30-something years old with two boys, and now he's a single dad because he has to raise these two boys on his own because his wife has passed? I hope that there's no one in the room who has experienced something at that tragedy, but I know that there are many of us who have seen tragedy like that come to our life. And for a while, John, it rattled him. His whole life seemed to be just kind of upside down. It was all sideways. He was trying to figure out what he was going to do. I mean, how can I continue to pastor this church? You know, I'm by myself. I've got my boys I've got to look out for. They're number one now. I've got to take care of them. What am I going to do? To make a long story short, he ends up going back to Houston around close to family, and he begins to work as a youth pastor there. He keeps on going. And I asked him, I said, man, I don't know how you're doing it. I said, that would have destroyed my world. He said, Scott, I can't even explain. He said, it makes no sense to me how I'm even doing what I'm doing. He said, I got super angry and I didn't know how to deal with it. But he said, I prayed and I asked God to help me. And all of a sudden, he said, just this overwhelming presence of God just filled my life. And he was able to continue to serve and work in the ministry. And he served as a youth pastor for several years. He didn't know what his future would be like. He didn't know the valley that he would have to walk through. As we walked across the stage in college, in Bible school, as we walked across that Bible school stage, he had dreams, he had desires, he fell in love with this girl, and they had a family, and he raised his family, but he didn't know that 10 or 15 years down the road that he would have to walk that dark road. But when he was walking down that road, he found something that he did not know to expect, and that was that the peace of God came upon his life in such a way that allowed him to continue to show God's glory and strengthen his life. You see, there is peace that's looking out for you in your future. You don't know what's around the next corner. You're aware that the Lord has told us we may have trouble, but take heart because I'm leaving peace with you. There's peace for our future, but then there's also peace for our present. John, later he had a missionary come through their church. And the missionary had a daughter. And he's a 30-something-year-old widower. And this missionary daughter and he fall in love. And they remarry. And I hadn't seen him that happy in years. He was just a big smile on his face. He had no idea that all of this was going to transpire in his life. Had no idea. That God was going to bring someone else into his life that was going to just turn his frown to a smile. He had no idea that God was still in front of him. He wasn't planning on these things, but he had been walking in the peace of God. About a year and a half ago, I got another phone call from him. Bro, I need you to pray. It's bad. I'd heard this before. He said, something's happened to me and I don't know what it is. We're trying to figure it out. Been to the doctor. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And his health since that time has steadily deteriorated to the point now where standing up at the pulpit is almost impossible. He has to speak from a chair. And some mornings when he's trying to get ready in the office, he can't even do it because he just has to stay in his office. He gets these muscle spasms that lock his body down. He can't even move. And so he has to just tell one of his associates, hey, you're preaching this morning. You got 5 minutes to get ready. How in the world does he manage? He sent me a text this morning before I, as he usually does. He said, hey man, I'm praying for you. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be upon your life. And that the Lord would give you a double portion today. Now how does a guy who has lost his wife, who saw his family and his boys crushed by the weight of the world, by something you can't plan on, how does a guy who was diagnosed with an illness that's terminal continue to say things like that? It's because he has come to understand one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be afraid about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In verse 7, look at it. Look at it. And the peace of God. And the peace of God. That's coming upon someone right now. And the peace of God. I feel the Holy Spirit just sinking that into someone's heart right now. The peace of God that transcends, that passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You can't explain it. You can't define it. You can't even describe it. But there is a peace that God gives to His people that transcends all of our knowledge, beyond what we're aware of. And He makes us fearless. Fearless to face life. Single with kids. Fearless to face life at the end of a doctor's visit that didn't go so well. Fearless to face life when that boss calls you into his office and says, "I'm sorry." Fearless to face life when those relationships at home seem so on edge, so close to falling apart. Totally aware, but fearless because of simple peace comes upon us. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all men on whom His favor rests. Let's bow our heads this morning. Some of you have really been dealing with some things in your heart and your mind. It's been heavy. It's been overwhelming. Life has kind of scooted sideways on you, and it's been tough. Maybe the last month, maybe the last year, maybe the last several years, things have just not gone the way that you thought that they would go. At this point in your life, you thought that you'd be on top of the world, but you found yourself walking through some dark roads and valleys that have robbed you of the peace that you know that there can be found in God. This morning, I just want to offer you the same thing that Jesus offered His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Don't be afraid when the clouds over your life seem so heavy. There is a peace that passes all understanding. I've felt that peace. I'm not going to share the story, but I have felt that peace. In one way, I have felt that peace in such an overwhelming extent upon my life. I know in one particular moment, I knew it was the transcendent presence of God that just invaded my vehicle as I watched my wife cry her eyes out, looking the window at some news that we had received about our kids. I have seen that, and it was something where my heart was completely broken, and all of a sudden I felt something in the cab of that truck totally overwhelm me. I can't even at words right now even describe what that was like. It was beyond my comprehension. It was beyond understanding. But I'm reminded of the peace that transcends my understanding. I knew it was the peace of God. And I knew when I was able to turn to my wife, whose tears were streaming down her face, and I said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Friends, I don't know what you're dealing with in your life today, but can I offer you the Word of God? It says there is peace that is found in Him. It's simple. It doesn't deny reality, but it looks at the face of reality with fearlessness, knowing that we have put our hope in God. He's near to us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And this Christmas, I want you to be reminded of that. That there is a peace that can be had in the Lord. If your life is totally right now sideways and you are just overwhelmed by just the anxiety and the fear of what tomorrow holds, I want you to know there is peace to be had. You say, "Pastor, would you pray for me specifically?" That seems like to be my story right now. I'm just overwhelmed by life. Would you raise your hand right now and let me pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. You're here this morning. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just overwhelmed by things. I want you to know there's peace in Jesus today.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.